Romans 5 verse 1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." How we must remember history. How we must remember the 16th century Protestant Reformation. And it is the tradition of the Bible Presbyterian Church to remember this good day. In 1517, when Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses to tell us how our salvation must be by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, based on Scripture alone, to the glory of God alone. Many people today, even Christians, are ignorant, do not know of such an important event that happened in the past. And when we forget, we fall into error. We are vulnerable to the deception of Satan, who comes in with his false doctrines once again to deceive. Oh, how we must remember and not forget. We must remember the people of the Reformation, the great men of God like Martin Luther and John Calvin and Ulrich Zwingli and John Knox, how they were filled with holy courage and zeal, knowing the truth of the Holy Scriptures, to earnestly contend for the faith, not for themselves, but that the faith that they knew from the Scriptures was something that the people need, so that they might be delivered out of darkness into the marvelous light of God's truth and kingdom. And today we have that light. We are a Protestant church. We protest. Protest against what? Protest against the false church, the apostate church, and all the erroneous doctrines that they had taught. We must remember and not forget. We must not only remember the people, more importantly, we must remember the doctrines that they had taught from the Scriptures and made very clear. Or else, we may find ourselves back in the Roman Catholic Church, back into the bondage of sin and of Satan and of fear and of idolatry and superstition, and we know not the truth. How miserable we will be. But we are very happy people today because we know the truth. And the truth has made us to see and has set us free to serve the living and true God. And we know for sure that we have eternal life, not because we are good, not because we have worked for it, but because Jesus Christ is good, God is good, and He has worked for us and has saved us from our sins, having died on the cross for our sins, shedding His precious blood. How He was buried, but on the third day, as He has promised, He was raised from the dead. And we can be very sure that one day we will also be raised from the dead. Death is something we will have to go through. Most of us. We will see death one day. But then the Lord has promised death has lost its sting. We have eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore we do not fear. We do not fear death. We do not fear the judgment to come, the wrath of God, because we have been delivered from the wrath to come. We are no longer under judgment. For the Lord has already justified us, saved us from our sins. And all this is obtained not by works, but by the grace of God through faith alone. Faith is the key. Faith is the answer. The Roman Catholic Church for 1,000 years had believed and taught another gospel, a gospel of works and not a gospel of grace. In those days, when Martin Luther lived, the Catholic Church forbade the common people from reading the scriptures, for knowing and discovering the truth for themselves. They hid the Bible from the people. They forbade the people from reading the scriptures. And so only the priests, only the clergy can read the scriptures and interpret the scriptures for the people. And of course, there were all these wrong interpretations of the scriptures and man-made doctrines that lead to superstition and idolatry. No, we must not only worship God and Jesus Christ, we must also worship Mary, who is the mother of God. In fact, higher than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Oh, how we also must worship the angels. How we must worship the dead saints. And then the doctrine of transubstantiation. When the Mass or the Holy Communion is observed, Christ is crucified all over again. And how magically the bread becomes the flesh of Christ, the actual flesh of Christ. And the wine becomes the actual blood of Christ. And Christ is crucified all over again. It's an idolatrous ceremony. And how they taught also that we must confess our sins, and in order for our sins to be forgiven, you must, you know, buy these forgiveness tickets or indulgences. False doctrine of penance. So all kinds of false doctrines which blinded the people to the truth that Jesus had already paid the price and the penalty of our sins, and all these things are free of charge. The forgiveness of sins is free of charge. And our entrance into heaven, you don't have to buy a ticket to enter into heaven. You just need to confess your sins. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in Him. And God will welcome you into His kingdom and make you His child free of charge. Not what we can do, but what God can do for us and has done for us. And so the people in the dark ages were blinded from the truth, and the Lord raised up, by divine intervention, the Lord raised up His faithful servants, Martin Luther, John Calvin, and others, to contend for the faith, to reform the church. They were known as the Reformers. Why? Because they came to reform the church. The Lord used them, and chief of whom was Martin Luther. Read about him in the Weekly Today. You know, Martin Luther knew the Roman Catholic Church and knew the Roman Catholic doctrines inside and out, because he himself was a Roman Catholic, and not only a Roman Catholic, he was a Roman Catholic monk. He was a priest, and he was a very devout priest, a devout monk. He studied deeply into the Catholic doctrine, and he practiced religiously all the things that the Catholic Church taught him to do. How he must do all these works, all these good works, if he wanted to enter into heaven. And you know what Martin Luther said? Martin Luther said, "I was indeed a pious monk and followed the rules of my order more strictly than I can express. If ever a monk could obtain heaven by his monkish works, I should certainly have been entitled to it." But you know what? The more he did all these monkish works that he was told to do, the more miserable he felt. There was no peace in his heart. There was this great burden of sin. He knew he was guilty before God. He had broken the commandments of God. He could not get out of sin. And he was plagued by all these uncertainties of whether he was saved or not. There was no assurance. And the more of such works he did, the more miserable he felt. Until one day, until one day he read the scriptures, and God, by his grace and through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, brought him to the knowledge of the truth that the just shall live by faith. You want to be righteous before God? It is not what you can do. For all our good works are as filthy rags. Only one way, and that is by faith. From faith to faith, the just shall live by faith. And therefore, by faith, we are justified. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God had raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. It is all of Christ and not of self. And when he suddenly read this and realized this truth, he was so happy. Immediately he went on his knees crying for his salvation. Now I understand. Now I see. It is not I, but Christ. Not works, but faith, and faith alone, that will free me from sin and from the guilt of sin. And yes, after he got saved, you see, once you have received good news, and once you have tasted of the goodness of God, you will not want to keep it to yourself. You want to preach it. You want to share it. This is the way out. And so he began to teach his congregation and his students at the University of Wittenberg this truth. And his members and his students loved him for it. It was something so good. Not I, but Christ. Not works, but faith. And gives all glory to God. And so the doctrine of justification by faith and by faith alone became one of the doctrinal pillars of the 16th century Protestant Reformation. So what is justification? What is justification? The Westminster Shorter Catechism, question 33, has a very good answer. Let me read to you what the Westminster Shorter Catechism says. What is justification? Justification is an act of God's free grace. In other words, it's something that we don't deserve, but God has freely, lovingly given to us, wherein he pardons all our sins. All right? He pardons all our sins, forgives us of all our sins, past, present, and future, and accepteth us as righteous in his sight, only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us, not our righteousness, but Christ's righteousness imputed to us and received, obtained by faith and by faith alone. Okay? In other words, when a sinner confesses his sin and believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, what happens? When we confess of our sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God miraculously applies the precious and powerful blood of Christ and washes away all our sins. Right? So our hearts are cleansed by the blood of Christ. And only the blood of Christ can cleanse us from all our sins. And not only that, what God does is he will clothe us with the righteous robe that Christ had earned for us. The Lord Jesus Christ had kept the Ten Commandments, the law of God, perfectly for us. And he did it on our behalf. If we want to be accepted by God and enter into heaven, we must obey the commandments perfectly. But we know that we cannot. We have failed from day one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have even transgressed God's commandments. We have broken the commandments of God. We stand guilty before God, condemned, judged. But God requires, if you want to enjoy fellowship with me, you want to be found in my presence, you must be holy, as I am holy. So how can we be holy and righteous? We cannot. We are not. Someone must be righteous for us. And Jesus went through his life on earth, keeping the commandments of God for us, and earning the righteousness that we need to enter the heaven, so that when we confess our sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he will clothe us with the righteous, with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that when God sees us, he doesn't see the sin, right, that's in us, but he sees the righteousness of Christ that we are clothed with, and then we are accepted by him. And the sins that we have committed, the penalty of sin, which is death, Jesus had already paid for it on the cross, dying on the cross, shedding his precious blood. And then he gives us eternal life, everlasting life, that will never end, in heaven, because Jesus was raised from the dead, and one day we will be raised from the dead as well. All these things happened when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and are justified by faith, and then we make peace with God. God is no longer our enemy. God now is our friend. We are now friends of God, children of God, part of his family, born again, born spiritually into his family. And once we are born spiritually in this family, he cannot disown us. We cannot lose our salvation. We bear the name of Christ, and we bear the name of Christ forever. And our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, registered already. The born again, all right? The birth registry in heaven. When you're born again, it's all written in the blood of the Lamb. Will never be erased. Forever secure. And so justification means what? Justification is a legal term. You know, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. The word justify there in the original is actually a legal term, a term used in the law court, a term used by the judge to declare someone or to pronounce someone not guilty. Right? Just as if he has not sinned. Right? Justification sounds like what? Sounds like just as if you have not sinned. Okay. Not on account of what we have done, but on account of what Jesus had done for us, and God declares us not guilty, just as if we have not sinned. But of course, the Catholic Church denied this doctrine and object to the doctrine of justification by faith alone, for according to them, it must be by works also, not faith alone, but also by works. Quoting James 2 verse 20. Now James 2:20 tells us, "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" They say, "Oh, it's not only faith. You see, you must also do good works in order to be saved." Quoting James 2 verse 20. And then the liberals also attack the doctrine of justification. The doctrine of justification by faith alone, they say the scriptures contradict, because in the book of James, chapter 2, verse 21 and 24, it says that justification is not by faith alone, but by works, because Abraham was saved by works, was justified by works, according to them. And this contradicts what Paul said in Romans chapter 4. Now you turn to Romans chapter 4, all right? Look at Romans chapter 4, verse 1 to 3, it says here, "What shall we say then, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." You see, Abraham believed, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. God declared him righteous on account of his faith. And of course, his faith was his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. But then in James chapter 2, you look at James chapter 2, looks like it is something else, right? For here in James chapter 2, verse 21, it says, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works?" How is it that, Paul said in Romans 4, Abraham was justified by faith, and here James says Abraham was justified by works. So they say, you see, the Bible contradicts. Bible has mistakes, right? Of course not. Let God be true, every man a liar. How do you explain this? When Paul says justification is by faith and by faith alone, and here we have James saying, no, it is by works. No contradiction at all. The two verses, the two passages can be easily reconciled when we study into the context of the respective books and chapters, comparing scripture with scripture. You know, in the book of Romans, Paul was addressing sin. See, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us stand condemned before God. And so the question he was seeking to answer was, what saves? Is it faith or works? And Paul was, you know, seeking to answer the question, it is what saves. It's only faith that saves, not works. By the works of the law can no man be saved. So please understand that Paul was answering this question, what saves? And Paul answers, only faith saves, right? Not works. But James was not answering that question. James had another question that he wanted to answer. For he was writing to people who say they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who profess faith but actually do not possess faith. They use their belief and their profession of faith as a license to sin. There was no transformation, no change in their life. You see? You don't see the evidence of faith in their life, in their works. So really, James was seeking to answer a different question. What kind of faith? What kind of faith saves? And James answers, the kind of faith that saves is a faith that works, you see. If you have true faith, a true faith that saves, it will lead to a transformed life, a changed life. You will be a different person. But if you say you have faith and you profess faith, but there is no power within you, no transformation of life, no change in you, you're not more and more godly or not more and more holy. In fact, you're getting from bad to worse, or do not display any kind of grace, right, in your life, in a changed life. And maybe the faith that is in you, that you say you have, was not there in the first place. It is a false faith. A dead faith. Right? So please understand, both Paul and James were dealing with different questions. In the book of Romans, what is it that saves? Faith or works? And Paul says, only faith saves. Look at Abraham. Abraham believed God and was counted to him for righteousness. He believed. Right? It wasn't circumcision that saved Paul either, because Abraham, when he believed, was still uncircumcised. Not because of circumcision, not because of baptism or any good work that you do that saves you. Abraham was not saved by any good work he did, but simply believing in the words and the promises of God. And God declares him righteous, right? Just as is, he has not sinned. Imputed on him the righteousness of Christ. And James is asking the question, answering the question, what kind of faith saves? You say you have faith. What kind of faith do you have? Is it a faith that works? Is it a faith that will result in a changed life? And the faith that saves is true faith. And the true faith is a living faith. A faith that will lead in a changed life, not a dead faith. Right? So take note of this. And in fact, James himself knows this, for in verse 23 we are told, in James 2 verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. So faith, the faith that Abraham exercised in believing in God and his word, saved him. And then after that, he evinced his faith, he proved his faith, he showed that he had genuine faith by his work. How did he do that? When God commanded him, you offer Isaac, right, as a sacrifice unto me, the son of promise. Abraham asked no question, never argued with God, did as God commanded him to do. And so by that good work of obedience, he showed he had genuine and true faith. You see? And how do we know that we have genuine true faith? Well, we have to examine ourselves. We find our lives change. How long have we been a Christian already? 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20, 30, 40, 50 years? Have our lives changed or not? Are we becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ or not? And if we find ourselves, yes, growing in our faith, growing in our Christ-likeness, then we know, yes, I have genuine faith. God is working in me. He doesn't leave me alone. And yes, even when I sin, I backslide, or I am disobedient, He deals with me. He chastises me. And I'm convicted. I repent of my sins and get right with Him. All these are evidences of genuine faith. Do you experience this in your life? Or is it just the mouthing, I'm a Christian, but actually no life, no meaning at all whatsoever? We have to examine ourselves. So what is the correct biblical salvation equation? Take note, it is this. Faith equals salvation, right? And faith alone. Faith equals salvation, and after we are saved, then the works will follow. So faith equals salvation plus good works, all right? Not minus works. After we are saved and say, oh, now I'm saved, my sins are all forgiven, God has given me a blank check, I can sin all I want, right? Then that is a false faith. True faith saves, and after that, the good works will follow. If there are no good works, a changed life that follows, it is a false faith, a dead faith. So take note of this. And you know, in the days of the Reformation, the Roman Catholic Church, right, taught justification by faith. But then the justification by faith is not alone. They say you are justified by faith and works, right? So their salvation equation is faith plus works equals salvation. Ours is faith equals salvation. Faith only equals salvation. And after that, the works will come, all right? Spiritually, automatically, as the Spirit works in our heart. But the Roman Catholic Church says faith, yes, you need faith, but not enough. You need your own good works. Then it will lead to your salvation. Faith plus works equals salvation. Justification plus sanctification equals salvation. Now, that's a false equation. Justification, all right, by faith alone gets you saved, and after that the sanctification will follow, will come. But the Roman Catholic Church taught otherwise, you see. And today people are also misunderstanding and misinterpreting the scriptures and now confusing the doctrines of justification and sanctification. And that's why today many Protestant churches or denominations are saying, what's wrong? What's wrong with the Roman Catholic Church? I mean, they also preach justification by faith. They also say it is by the grace of God. They say also we have to believe in Christ. So the Reformation actually is a mistake, was a mistake. Luther made a mistake. Their doctrine of salvation is the same as ours, same gospel. We now go back to the Roman Catholic Church. This was what happened on October 31st, 1999. The Lutheran World Federation, which comprises three quarters of the Lutheran members worldwide, said in 1999, Reformation was a mistake. Luther made a mistake. Gospel of the Roman Catholic Church and the doctrine that they hold to are the same as ours. No difference. We now go back, right, to the Roman Catholic Church. But they fail to understand what happened. In those days, yes, the Roman Catholic Church, the Pope, believed justification is by faith. Justification is by grace. Yes, it is in Christ. Yes, it is based on the scriptures. But, you know, that is not the point. You must ask the right question. And you ask the Roman Catholic Church today. It's just the same as, just like in the days of the 16th century. They do not believe that justification is by faith alone, right? The word alone is key. If you ask them the question, is justification by grace? They will say yes. Is it by faith? They will say yes. Is it in Christ? Yes. Is it based on scripture? Yes. But if you ask them the question, is it alone? Grace alone? Faith alone? Christ alone? Scripture alone? They will say no. No change. Problem is, we have changed because we have forgotten. We have forgotten. What is the truth? What was the Reformation all about? So we must remember, we must be clear, right? Or else we will fall into Satan's trap of deception again. And so there must be a distinction between justification and sanctification in the light of the scriptures. And what are these distinctions? Please take note of the distinction between justification and sanctification. Justification is a one-time act of God. Right, one-time act of God. On the day you confess Jesus Christ, believe on Him, justification takes place. God declares you righteous, just as if you have not sinned, makes you a child of God. Sanctification, on the other hand, is an ongoing activity of God. After you get saved, God starts working on you to change you, you see. And it is something that is ongoing and will not end until the day of the resurrection, day of redemption, when Christ returns, when we get to heaven. Okay. Justification is God's work on us from the outside. God as a judge declares us not guilty, right? Just as if you have not sinned. It's God's work on us from the outside and clothing us with the righteousness of Christ, forgiving us of our sins. Sanctification, on the other hand, is God's work on us from the inside, when the Holy Spirit indwells us and He sanctifies us through the Word of God and cleanses us from our sin, makes us more and more like Christ. It's God's work, all right, for us from the inside. So that is sanctification. Okay, justification is God's work for us on the outside. Sanctification is God's work for us from the inside. And then justification happens during conversion, the moment you are saved. Sanctification happens after conversion, right? After you are saved. And justification concerns the root of salvation, but sanctification involves the fruit of salvation. So there are these differences, these distinctions that you must know, or else we may get confused. And when we do not see things clearly and distinguish things clearly, we confuse them, we get them all mixed up, we may, you know, end up believing in a false gospel, a gospel of works. No, salvation is not by works, purely by the grace of God alone. At the very beginning, when we believe, when we are justified, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Right? We are no longer enemies of God, we become friends of God, we are reconciled to Him, we become a child of God, and after that, you know, being a child of God, God works on us, makes us more and more like Him, by His Spirit, through His Word, you see. But we are already saved. We are not saved at the end of that sanctification process. We are saved at the moment we are justified, all right? Not at the end of our sanctification. So that is something we must be very clear about. Or else we may just preach a gospel of works, which is another gospel. And that's why people today, not understanding the truth, are compromising the faith. So let us remember the men of the Reformation, and more importantly, what they stood for, and what the scriptures has already taught us so clearly, what it means to be saved, how to be saved. It is by faith and by faith alone, purely by the grace of God, not of works, is the good work of God for us, not our own good works, that will bring us to heaven. Christ is the only way, the truth, and the life. We don't trust in the words of men, nor the traditions of the church, but purely on the Holy Scriptures, which is the sole and supreme authority of our faith and practice. That God has not only inspired in the beginning, but preserved every jot and tittle of it for us even today, so that we might know the truth, and know the truth for sure and for certain, without any question and without any doubt. The crisis today is a crisis of faith. So little faith. And sometimes we don't even see faith in the church today. Oh, how we must rekindle our faith in the Lord, by believing in the Lord and in His Word. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy truth. We thank Thee for the good news of Jesus Christ, and how, Lord, we want to recommit and reconsecrate ourselves unto Thee, to know that it is faith that saves, and even this faith that we have exercised in the beginning was a gift from Thee, not come from us. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So, Lord, help us to understand this truth. Help us also to preach this truth, to teach and to defend this truth. In these days when darkness has set in once again in Thy church, so help us, Lord, we pray. And for those going for evangelism this afternoon, bless them. And may the word spoken and the tracts distributed do Thy good work to bring this saving knowledge those who are still outside of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.